Good evening, folks. I've been hammering and hammering on these crop losses and assuring you that they will translate into increases in the food prices and encouraging you to grow your own food. And we're really seeing that come into fruition right now. It's just, we're turning a huge corner as a lot of the massive crop losses, how could they not, right? 50, 60, 70% in many cases over the last year are finally reaching through to the market. So recently I shared with you this piece from the Daily Mail. Beast from the East sends Christmas dinner. Prices soaring. The freezing temperatures early in the year are now pushing up the cost of vegetables. Brussels sprouts, potatoes, parsnips. Potatoes were the hardest hit, up 186%, so almost double. Meanwhile, the average bottle of wine is up a bit. Higher grain prices. These rises in the wholesale cost of vegetables will not necessarily be passed on at the same level to consumers in the shops. Now, this is pretty important. While some increase is very likely now, agricultural analyst down here, Aiden Wright, told the newspaper, a lot of the increase will be absorbed by suppliers who will simply see lower margins. So they're not going to actually increase the end consumer price product in many of these cases, is what they're betting here. I beg to differ. Right, just a few days ago, Nestle indicated that they're going to be raising due to escalating raw material prices straight from Steve Presley, the helm of their operations. The CEO of Nestle comes out and says, yeah, we got rising input costs, and I think we're looking at it like everyone else. Watch how he actually masks this. We're going to have to raise our prices because things are becoming more expensive to us, but the CEO indicates, we think some inflation returning to our category is good. We think it's good for us. It's good for our partners as the consumer gets healthier and healthier financially. Right. So we're going to take more and more of the healthy consumer's money. We think it's good. I'm going to wager it's not good. And just a few days later, today, this from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. companies are raising prices on everything from plane tickets to paint, including food, after years of low inflation. Clorox and Coca-Cola reported higher prices for this quarter. Higher prices that are ending a long period of relatively low inflation. And from the CEO of Kellogg right here, we think 2019 will be more inflationary than we have seen historically since the recession. Now they talk a little bit more. Here we see Oreo cookies and Ritz crackers mentioned. Mondelez International plans to raise prices also next year in North America. Their CEO said that consumers and retailers have become amenable to paying more. The consumer environment is strong. Okay, so the rising costs is what they're talking about. Price hikes on its cookies and crackers are in response to rising ingredients. So this is not a one-off with Nestle. These are consistent stories. Like he said, they're looking at like everyone else, crops are failing. Input costs are rising, and a little bit of inflation in our category is good. That's what the CEO is going to have you know, but food prices are rising is what I'm telling you. That's what it translates to. I wanted to add down here, for one thing, it's happening in other categories as well. The economy is healthy, we assure you. Let's see if I can find chocolate. Look at this. This is, you know, we've talked about rising prices straight up above. They're just going to increase the prices on some food items. We've also talked in the past about shrinkflation, where they will simply decrease the package size, make the 3 sausage instead of 4, and keep the price the same. So you don't notice that the price has increased, but you're actually getting less. Check this out. Straight from, this is how they hide inflation, although they are open in talking to the Wall Street Journal about it. Hershey's says it's going to sell candy in new packaging next year at higher prices per ounce. Kellogg released a chocolate variety of its Eggo waffles and priced it 12% higher than other products. And why would you do this? Well, listen to this nonsense. The days of straight list prices increases are gone, says Kellogg's. It would lead to a decrease in consumer demand. So if we just raise our prices, people are going to buy less of it. But if we introduce new products that just cost more, then people will try them and maybe they'll like them and they'll just buy up into these things without even realizing that it's just the same 3 grams of corn or what, you know, whatever is actually going into it. The inputs are costing these companies the same, but they're masking these price increases. All right, so moving on. So here, this was from that Wall Street Journal article. A couple things to point out. This has already happened. This is third quarter 2018. So from year-over-year changes, McDonald's Big Mac is already up 5%. Chipotle, 5%. Starbucks is already 9% more expensive. That's because coffee crop losses are increasing. We'll take a look at that in a second, actually. Domino's Pizza, 6%. Jimmy John's Turkey Sandwich, 6%. And even your Panda Express is costing you 3% more. It's not just the U.S. In France as well, I wanted to point out down here that inflation was rising almost 3% in just September, which is pretty high. And actually, they call out here that salmon really stands out. The price of salmon has risen by 23% in France in 2018, mostly due to the global problem of stocks not being able to keep up demand. Carrots up by 43% due to a harsh winter and the summer heat wave. France's statistics agency indicated that, yes, 2.3% in 2018 was the consumer prices increase across the board, mostly attributable to energy and food. Now, these crop losses are continuing. Just to step back and remind ourselves, Australia has experienced a massive drought, and the estimates for their wheat production just keep getting knocked down week over week. I shared a piece last week where a farmer said, yeah, they're still dreaming. There's no way we're getting what they're estimating out of these fields. So that is coming to pass. They just keep marking it down. And that is why Asian mills are looking to find, frantically, to find other sources for their wheat. So this is what it looks like up front, right? The crop losses are experienced. The contracts are delivered. But then, look, world wheat supplies are expected to tighten in the second quarter of 2019 as the shipments from Russia slow. And the supplier Australia is expected to dwindle because they've had their scorching weather down there. So there's a delay. You have to wait until these losses percolate through. The contracts are delivered, but then, in fact, it's mentioned down here, we're then going to experience a supply squeeze after March. So these things bubble up through the market, and then they eventually reach the consumer. We've already seen they're going to be willing to pass those price increases on to a healthy consumer. It's good for us, we think, in our category. India, coffee crop shrinking by another 30 to 40%. Year over year, these are massive losses. 3,000 crore is like a 10 million, I think, and that's rupees. So this is really substantial losses. That's why they're saying this. We need to call this a disaster. And 26% of last year's crop was the estimate, and we expect the losses to be higher than that. So expect that Starbucks coffee to continue going up in price. And then again, beasts from the east effects continue to ripple through in the UK. The onion crop down 40%. So it's nearly half of it is just gone. You can't have these kinds of crop losses and not see them bubble up to the consumer. Now, we have kept an eye on those things for some time because it's obvious what's going on, and it's obvious that it's going to continue to play out as the grand solar minimum continues to play on. What we haven't, you know, what could be a surprise, and I've mentioned how galactic cosmic rays and in previous grand solar minima, human health suffers. What I neglected to consider is that animal health also suffers. And so what I've been keeping my eye on recently here is something that could actually translate also into a pretty substantial change into the world food markets, and that's this African swine fever. Over the course of the last few months, it has rapidly gone through. This was the beginning of September. We started seeing that it's a huge threat to China's economy. Over the course of September and this last month, October, the markets have gradually locked down as provinces. It's been discovered across the provinces there, despite them culling hundreds of thousands of swine. So these are the provinces that are actually experiencing outbreaks and the numbers that are going on there. It's a little fuzzy. And so what does that mean? Well, China has effectively, you can see it here, they've effectively locked down the country with respect to hogs. You can't transport pigs anywhere across these borders that are indicated. It's pretty much everywhere. Despite that, this African swine fever can pigs fly? Evidently, it has continued to spread. Now, it was initially discovered in a Siberian province and then made its way down to China, where they were, you know, freaking out because it's the biggest pork market in the world. But now it's been seen in Western Europe, in Georgia, and then also in Romania. And this is causing some pretty severe effects, not just to the, literally to the physical supply of pork, but also to like the psychological market. People are less likely to buy it, and so they're going to flock, if you'll pardon the expression, to chickens and to beef. And those have to be sourced from somewhere else. So the U.S. or Australia would be the normal places that you go. Australia is obviously in a weird place, having just had the drought down there, and feed prices were through the roof. So there was a lot of liquidation of cattle, a lot of slaughter going on. So it's going to, I think there's going to be a supply squeeze in meats as well in the next 6 months here. We'll see. It's just something to keep an eye on. And another thing to consider is that the UN is really playing this up. So they've been having a lot of media coverage over this virus, over the effects that it could have. A global spread are feared. There are papers coming out about African swine fever. How can we prevent its spread? It causes major economic losses and it threatens food security wherever it goes. Just the attention that the UN has been paying to this sort of raises the red flag of, do we need to go into extreme speculation mode and say, what's going on here? Is this a created crisis where they're trying to decrease world consumption of meat? But that is, as I say, that's extreme speculation. So these are the rising vibes, you know, these cases of prices rising and shelves being empty for short periods of time. Those are the rising vibes of food scarcity in developed nations. And they're hidden, as I said, by the shrinkflation, by changing the name of the candy and charging more. But in places where they don't have quite that amount of luxury over the perceptions of the consumers, and it's more direct, you know, people are eating rice in the Philippines, it's much more obvious what's going on right now. They're heading towards a food crisis, we read here. Duterte actually came out and said, I will not allow Filipinos to go hungry. Do not force me to resort to emergency measures, meaning I will raid the food supplies. And he actually says, yeah, I'll compensate you justly, but if I need to feed people, I'm going to take your supplies. I will confiscate your grains. This is just like what we saw in Egypt, where the police were going in and taking potatoes out of warehouses and selling them at set prices. So this is happening quickly, folks. These are places in the world where there were functioning markets only years ago, and now, you know, this is the military and the police stepping in to control the prices. And don't think that it cannot happen here. The laws, as Duterte says, I have that power. He actually makes the point of saying, I can do that, but do not force me. Please go to the market with your goods. Don't force me to do it. Well, so too do the, you know, executive orders and whatnot across the world, including in the United States, that have been passed. In the U.S., it's called Executive Order 13603. So Obama, or now Trump, in a national emergency, absolutely has the power to confiscate anything that's defined as food resources, meaning all commodities and products that are edible by humans or animals. It also means potable water. So yes, they have laid the frameworks for the food scarcity into which we're entering now. And as these crop losses accelerate, we're going to see it exercised in more and more places. And that's why I cannot underscore enough, and I always say, you need to start growing your own food now. It takes some time to spin up systems that work, to learn how it goes, and start that process as soon as you can. Folks, thanks for watching. Please do spread the word about the coming food scarcity, the changing weather cycles. They're natural cycles. They have nothing to do with CO2, nothing to do with our behavior. The only thing we can do, the only thing that's within our sphere of influence, is to start growing food and secure food security for our family, for our community. So start working on it now. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing. Take care, folks.